The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Turn with me this morning, if you would please, to John, the 21st chapter. We'll begin reading in the first verse about a fishing trip. Now, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell fishing stories. And I don't think this influenced the subject that's on my heart, because I've been thinking about this all week. But I did drive over the Sipsey River yesterday, and I told my son, Nate, that if the river drops by next week, we'll probably start setting out limb lines for catfish. Because there's nothing better, if you've ever had one, than a sweet, buttery catfish fillet from the Sipsey River in Alabama. You probably feel that way about your fish over here in Mississippi, Brother Wayne, Brother Steve do, I know. And these brothers, a different body of water here in the Sea of Galilee, are heading out on a fishing trip. In verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. It's easy to get guys to say that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes. We're going fishing. Well, hey, I'll go.
Yeah, right.
They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now they had heard words like this before. You'll recall, Luke the 5th chapter, somewhat of a similar circumstance, similar especially for Peter, right, who was in the boat with the Lord that day several years prior to this event. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. You know, there's a lot of preaching in this. I realize I read quite a few verses. But do you not sometimes feel yourself in this life when you've tried hard and you've done what you could do, and you've done what you know to do? Do you not sometimes find yourself still empty?
Yes.
With an empty net? There's you toiled all night and all day and all week, and there's just nothing there of any substance. You know, you pull the net in, and I'm speaking here from a spiritual perspective. These guys obviously had a net that was really actually empty until the Lord intervened. But do you find yourself in that situation sometimes?
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to throw the disciples under the bus here. But John tells us, because John is a man of great detail, he'll tell you exactly how many fish they caught. He'll tell you exactly how many Passovers they enjoyed together. He leaves out the names of a couple of disciples here. I don't know exactly why, perhaps discretion. But he tells you everybody else that was there. He gives you all the details. And he tells you that this is the third time that Jesus has appeared unto them.
Right.
Okay, so we don't know exactly when this is before the Lord ascends to heaven. But he's been out on the earth, out of the grave, for some period of time.
Right.
In other words, my point is that the disciples know that Jesus is resurrected at this point.
Yeah. Right.
They've already seen him. Okay, now they don't know exactly where he is. And as you read through the Gospels, you understand that he's in some sense kind of showing up here and there. Okay, so his movements aren't exactly predictable any more than they necessarily are today to us in our lives when the Lord chooses to intervene and chooses to intervene here and chooses
right.
to intervene here. But they know he's alive. They know he's on the earth. They know he's walking about. And yet they find themselves in a position of not looking for him, not seeking him as they ought, but resorting to what they know, right, which is fishing. They know how to fish. They don't always catch fish any more than some of us do today. But it's something they know how to do. And as they're out, you know, trawling through the Sea of Galilee on this night with their nets, they come up empty. They've done that before. They've felt it before. They know what that feels like. And I submit to you, know, these brothers are in a different day and time than we are. You know, if I have a fishing trip with my boys, we don't catch anything, we can just go by the gas station on the way home and get some catfish fillets already fried in a little box. And there's been times I thought, you know, why don't we just do that to start with? But now they're in a different situation. There is no gas station. There's no Walmart deli. You know, you fish or you buy fish or you just don't have anything to eat. You know, and so they're literally, probably physically somewhat hungry after all this. My boys got old enough for me to take them out fishing all night and to sit out on the river all night and, you know, feel the waves as the barges went by and check the lines. And, you know, and I figured out pretty quickly, you don't go and take them without a large amount of provision.
Right.
You need beef jerky, beef sticks, you know, crackers, yeah, cinnamon rolls, drinks, you know. But when the Lord asked these folks, do they have any meat, they answer honestly, nothing. We don't have anything.
Right.
You know. So this is a picture of how we sometimes are in this life spiritually. We know that the Lord is alive. We know he's resurrected. We know by faith he's on the right hand of the majesty on high, interceding for us, that we can go to him any time of the night, any time of the day, present our request. We can seek and we will find. We can call to him and he will answer. And yet sometimes, where do we find ourselves when we're hungry spiritually, when we're destitute spiritually, when the world's beat us down? We find ourselves sometimes back to what we know, right? We're out in the boat, we're trawling through the Sea of Galilee, we're looking for something, and we just come up empty. We come up empty, we come up empty, we come up empty. And yet, where is our Savior? We find him here on the shore, and he's prepared. Because he's got a coal of fires. Now, I don't know if he built the fire himself. I don't know how he did it. I don't know exactly what the circumstance was. But anybody that's ever tried to cook on a fire knows that it takes a while for it to burn down into coals. Does it not? Mm-hmm. To get to a point where you can actually cook on it.
Right.
Okay? What does that suggest? That the Lord has been preparing this for some time.
Right.
They're out here doing their thing. Here's the Lord doing his thing. It's in preparation. It is in provision.
Amen.
But now, when they first see the Lord, they don't recognize him for who he is. It's when he intervenes and he fills the net. And then in verse 7, we find that the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So here the disciples are, empty nets, empty boat, nothing to eat. Here's the Lord on the seashore with a feast prepared for them, for his disciples to come and enjoy. And they look out there, and they see him, and they don't all initially even recognize who he is.
Right.
He said, what did he look like at that point, Brother Neil? Well, I don't know, but I think they knew the Lord, no doubt. And he's resurrected, and I realize he's, you know, in that sense, but they know who the Lord is. And furthermore, for goodness sakes, who else in the world could tell you, hey, just cast your nets over here, and they're suddenly full?
Right.
You know, now again here, Brother Peter, I love him. But it helps him to recognize the Lord for who he is when John points him out.
Right.
Okay? And I think sometimes that is our role sometimes as humble children of God to other children of God to say, hey, I know you're hungry, and I know you're weak, and I know you're faint, but you're fishing in the wrong place. You're not going to find what you're looking for.
Amen.
The Lord is over there.
Amen.
Okay? And sometimes Peter needs to be reminded. Amen. Peter! It's not as though Peter didn't know the Lord. Peter knew the Lord spiritually. Peter knew the Lord experientially. Peter had been with the Lord all these years.
Yeah.
But sometimes I find myself in that position. Do you ever find yourself in that position? I think back a little bit at these snapshots we have of Peter through the Scripture. In Luke the 5th chapter, when the crowd is pressing the Lord after the Lord has been baptized, he's gone through the wilderness, the demons have recognized who he is. The crowd begins to recognize who he is, and they press him as he's preaching. And he says, Peter, take me out in your boat a little ways. And he preaches, and Peter's sitting there listening, no doubt. And Peter's wondering because Peter hasn't caught anything all night. And the Lord says, well, put your nets over here. And suddenly the boat is full to sinking. And they bring in another boat and it starts to sink. And Peter falls down in the boat in the middle of that dirty water amongst those fish and falls down at the feet of the Lord. He says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Oh, in that moment, don't you know, he felt his depravity and he saw the Lord for who he is. And then you see him in Matthew, the 16th chapter, when the Lord says, whom do men say that I am? And some say this and some say this. He says, whom do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And he says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then just a few verses later, Peter begins to upbraid the Lord and says, it shall not be unto thee, Lord. You won't go to the cross. And the Lord has to say, Peter, get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things that be of men, not the things that be of God. Oh, here's a man who has faith, who has seen the Lord, who has professed the Lord, who has stood up before men and professed the Lord, and yet the Lord still has to look at him and say, take up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
You ever feel that way?
Amen.
I think maybe sometimes we feel that way almost every day, don't we? And Peter takes up his cross, and he follows the Lord. And then you get to that time where the Lord... who is preparing to take up his cross.
Right.
And he's now standing before men and he's being accused.
Right.
And is about to be tried for his life. Mm-hmm. And Peter's there. Mm. And the Lord told Peter how it would be.
Yeah.
Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. Oh no, Lord, I will go with thee unto the death.
Right.
Mm. And then that third time, and he says, I know not, and the cock crows, and the Lord turns and looks at Peter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right, brother.
So sorry.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You see, I see myself.
Amen.
I don't have Peter's good qualities.
Amen.
I'm not that good a man when he was doing the right thing. But I see myself there.
Amen.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is again, not looking for his resurrected Savior,
mm-hmm.
not looking around, not looking up, looking at the water. I know the water. I know how to fish. You know, I'm sometimes that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are, mm-hmm. but I get down, I get discouraged. And instead of looking for the Lord who I know is there, who I know has never left me and never forsaken me, I go back to what I know to do. I go back to work. You know, I go back to toil. I go back to labor. I go back to some music that I think would comfort me, something like that. And I trawl through the sea of life. And when I pull the net in, it's just empty.
Amen. Amen.
It's just empty. And sometimes I need an old Baptist preacher to stand up and say, he's over there.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Peter, he's right there.
That's right.
I'll submit to you if you find yourself in that position this morning.
Amen.
I believe the Lord is here.
Amen.
I believe the coals are hot.
Right. Yeah.
And I believe he's got some food laid there on for us to partake of spiritually.
Amen, brother.
So what do we need to do? We need to just gird our fisher's coat on and cast ourselves into the sea.
Right.
And come and dine.
Amen.
You know, the Israelites tempted the Lord in the wilderness. We read a very telling account there in Psalm 78. When you get to the 19th verse, it said, can the Lord set a table in the wilderness, tempting him? Brothers and sisters, I declare to you, the question today is not whether the Lord can set a table in the wilderness, but whether the Lord will set a table in the wilderness. The Lord has set a table in the wilderness.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. It's His table. It's for His children, for His disciples who are hungry, because some of them aren't.
Right.
But for the ones that see themselves as poor and empty and naked and spiritually bankrupt and hungry, the Lord is there with provision.
Amen.
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 No doubt.
You know, I think about Peter's writings later when you get over into 1 Peter.
Yeah.
And he says, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. For you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Well, so much of my time and energy is wasted on corruptible things as silver and gold and the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That's not what saves you. It's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was manifest for you. I sometimes read that and I wonder if Peter thought back to the lakeshore that day when the Lord was manifest, but he didn't recognize him. And he had spent the night out here just trawling and trying and giving it his best. But every time you just come up empty and empty and empty again. He was foreordained from the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God.
That's right.
You believe this morning. You believe in your Savior. You have faith in him. It is by God. It is of God. It is of a God who cares for us.
Amen.
Who loved us before the foundation of the world. And as we sang this morning, it is grace that caught me, and it is grace that keeps me.
Amen.
And by God's grace, he feeds me.
Amen.
And Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. But we've been drawn. We've been born again. We've been given spiritual life. Are we going to stay in the boat in this life and keep trawling? Are we going to jump in the sea and just swim to the shore?
Amen.
To the Lord's table?
Commit. Amen.
You know, I believe this morning that I'm talking to some people, and I, you know, certainly, again, I said this, and if I get a little excited, it's not because I'm mad at you. I just get a little excited. Because especially when I see people who I know who have put on their coats this morning, they put on their nice clothes, and they've come up to Zion. They're trying to shake off the dust of this world for a little while.
Amen.
And to sit down with the Lord and feast on what he has. And I trust that he's given us some things to feast on today. If we can humbly do that and remember, the Lord sets the table.
Right.
So if he sets fish, that's fine. I like fish. If he wants to have bread, that's fine. I like bread. I'm just glad that he's still setting the table for us in this wilderness. And I thank you so much for your time.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message, and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.